Hey, Wonderfuls, welcome to episode 496 of the JV Club with my marvelous guest, Lauren Flans. She's one of the hosts of the Coming Out Pod. It's coming out with Lauren and Nicole and is wonderful. I know you're going to love this episode. I had also such a great time on their podcast. Cannot recommend them enough. Please feel free to give my episode a listen if you want to start there. But in general, charming, wonderful. I know you're going to love it. You know what else you're going to love is coming to Sketchfest to see either Braving the Elements live that I'm doing with Dante and Gray, Delisle and Jack DeSena and Phil Lamar. That will be on Sunday, the 21st of January. There's lots and lots of shows available at sfsketchfest.com, including a bunch of stuff we just added, including a few different Fred Armisen shows. It's going to be great. So I hope to see some of you buddies there. And in the interim, I want you to enjoy this episode with Lauren. I was so proud of myself for when you suggested recording the Zoom, like all of my attention went to that. And I realized that I had like, oh, yes, that's right. You stopped recording because Lauren was clearing my card. I'm glad we did that. We cleared the card. We cleared the air. The air clearing meant that you run cold. Is that what having poor circulation and being cold means? You run cold. Okay.
But I think it does mean that my like sitting temperature like is higher. Like I think that's why I'm always cold.
See, these are the things that you realize.
Like,
no, but as I was saying it, as you could tell, I was like, wait, what does that mean? I forget. If you run hot, does that mean you're cold all the time? If you run cold, does that mean you're hot all the time?
I'm cold all the time, and I'm the kind of cold where, like, if people, like, touch my hands, they recoil. Uh-huh. They're like, oh, it's like ice, and I'm like, no.
I definitely have
so
that.
So I'm that kind of weirdo.
How are you in dryness versus hydrated factors during the winter? Because I just got back from Arizona,
every part of me has shriveled
to a dry, powdery raisin.
Yeah, I'm not good with that either. I'm not good with... But then with the humid, then my hair is very... Jewish is my like real cartoon frizz just like explodes. So it's sort of a, you know, do you want to look good or do you want to feel good, or do you want to look bad and feel bad simultaneously?
Many of us choose to look good and feel good almost never, and allow the other ones to happen.
A lot easier.
It's so much easier. I'm so glad we're doing this. I'm glad you're bundled up. My feet are very, very cold indeed right now. The rest of me will be extremely hot before my feet start to feel a little bit warm. It's kind of like when you're like, if you ever put yourself through the horror of trying to lose weight, and then like the first place the weight comes off is like your boobs. And then you're like, oh, I guess I wasn't asking for that. I'd love to select in a more lipo type, but natural, like dieting, nature's lipo. I'd like to be able to point to an area and say, I'm good here. If we could start it off here.
It's like
that.
Like I would off the top.
Exactly.
Or whatever,
take a little off the top. And it's the same thing with being cold. Like I would love to heat my feet first. I would love for my feet to be the thing that warms up quickest rather than being last, so that I have to be uncomfortable everywhere else in my skin by the time my feet get to be a good warm tone.
I hear you. That's that circulation situation. It just doesn't get down there.
I mean, I guess we've established that we're both frail, tall, white women.
We really, yeah. I'm like that hardy stock that's like Eastern European, like Russian, Polish, like, you know, like really just like healthy people like that. Just the palest, most, yeah, that's my people.
Okay. And let's move a little closer to home and less close to ancestral genes. Where did you grow up? Where were you a teen? And could I have said that in a more clunky way? Not possible.
No, I love it. Okay, so I'm The cool part of me is that I was born and raised in New York City.
Cool.
But then we moved. So I was cool until right before I turned 10. Okay. And then all of middle school and high school was in Westport, Connecticut, which is far less cool. Okay.
Is that a more...
but a lovely place to grow
Westport,
up.
Westport, Connecticut. New York.
It's Martha Stewart.
Yeah,
it's
I was going to say, I would say, immediately my head goes from like more diverse to significantly less diverse, but I could be wrong.
No, there were two black kids in my grade.
Okay.
In my whole grade. So, yep, you nailed it.
Okay.
Very.
Right. Yeah.
Whitey, white, white, Martha Stewart.
Was it a private school, a public school?
No, it was a public school. It just, you know, and I'm sure it's very, I haven't been back to Westport in like a 1,000 years because my folks don't live there anymore. So I think it's like very different now. I mean, all of Connecticut is like, it's like little Hollywood, right? Like they're filming everything in Connecticut, I feel like. So
I thought, yeah.
That was not
I mean,
situation.
Now yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. There is
Atlanta, Connecticut.
Shooting. I was going to say Atlanta.
The...
And then now New York's popping back up. People are still doing stuff in New Mexico. It does seem like things are more diversified in terms of and then just, again, so much Canada. But like more Canada
in
the like Edmonton, Calgary, like more stuff in the middle of the beautiful mountains of Canada than I think I've ever noticed before. And I keep waiting for someone to give me a job to choose one of those really fun places. But I have to say, I've been, the little I've been shooting has been in Los Angeles, California, USA.
Oh, that's good.
I guess
where we are.
I guess, but
that's
it's
very
sort of
convenient.
Fun to, it's, you know.
To travel.
You feel, I think, and I'll just say this, and it is embarrassing, but even if the job is exactly the same, it sometimes can feel more important if you have to go out of town.
100%.
You know, it could be the exact same job. Yeah.
You get a little stipend.
Yeah. Which, I mean, doesn't necessarily, and is not convenient for people with kids. I don't have kids. But I think part of it is like, you know, this sort of pandemic. I'm very lucky to get to go to Comic Cons and stuff to have a reason to travel so much. But, you know, I think I still feel like I have, even having done a ton of traveling, I still feel like I have a little bit of cabin fever whenever I get back here. And it took me till after the pandemic for that to kick in. Like during the pandemic, I was like, I'm fine. We don't need to like go to Palm Springs or Santa Barbara for a night. Like I love my bed here. And I really did sort of like tuck in. Did you do anything during did you like go, you know, give yourself the sort of respite of like, well, we went to Arrowhead and had some contactless checking into a cabin for a couple of days?
I was super hibernating. Like I just holed up with my small dog. And we went like full Grey Gardens.
Yeah.
Like
it's
me and
so
my
easy.
Dog. Like it was
it's
really
so easy.
So yeah, it was great. It was great. I really enjoyed it. Just like the excuse of not being like, well, I can't leave my apartment.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing it for the cause. Like, just I acclimated really well to that.
Yeah.
Because I think I used to love, and I'm sure I still do. I'm just like so out of that mode, but like traveling and like I've worked. I worked this amazing job where I lived in Amsterdam for like over 3 years and would do corporate gigs like all over Europe. So I was traveling like weekly, and this is when I was younger. And so it was like, and then when I like moved back here, I worked on a couple of cruise ships. So like I was traveling in that sense. So like so much of my parents have moved around a ton. So just so much of my life has been like not having a real like homestead and just like traveling a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that I finally hit a point pre-pandemic, and then the pandemic just like really like cemented it. But before the pandemic, I'd really hit a point where I was like, I feel like I'm like maybe not done traveling, but done with like the craziness that my life used to be with traveling.
Yeah.
And now post-pandemic, I'm like, what if I never go anywhere ever again? Like, what would that look like? So
yeah.
It's just like, I feel like maybe I did all my traveling in like the first few decades of my life. And then I'm just going to ride out the rest of it, like being a real homebody. We'll see.
We'll see. We will see, because you say that, but it could also be like, for me, I mean, like I said, I really settled into it. And then I went one place once, and that's all it took. It's all it took. You, like, because if you have the experience of having done that a lot, so you know how to be in Lauren travel mode, you'll like click in and you'll be like, oh, I flipped that switch, and now that switch is back on. And now it's like, what's next?
But I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right.
There's no wrong way. There's no wrong way.
I love traveling. I started doing this thing, like, I don't think it's a whole year ago. And I asked my therapist, I was like, am I going crazy? Like, does this mean I'm going crazy? And she was like, no, it's fine. But I started saving photos, like really pretty HD photos of just like beautiful places, to this folder on my computer. And then I made it my screensaver. So it's like, I now have like almost 1,000 photos of just like beautiful places. And so anytime, you know, like every 30 seconds when my computer goes to sleep, it just cycles through I'm just like sitting in an apartment in LA, like, oh, look at this. Like, that's really pretty. And it's fun.
I love that. I mean, you basically just made your own Apple screensaver of like places that you customized it to be places that you really like.
Yeah. And so there's clearly a part of me that like does miss that and like wants to like look at beautiful places. But yeah, it's just the dichotomy of me like sitting in a fuzzy robe in like a small apartment in LA and being like, oh, like, come on, that looks really pretty. But like having no impetus to do anything about it.
I think that is
really weird.
Utterly relatable. I have to agree with your therapist on this one. I think that is utterly relatable. And you just took it us. You took self-care in the screensaver department to like a next step.
Yeah, I got really motivated and I created a screensaver folder.
Love it. Love everything about it. Well, I'm glad to know this about all the traveling that you did do, because that was going to be a question that I asked you, was like, you know, were you surprised at how well you adjusted to hunkering down based on like the kind of person you were growing up? Like, did you, you know? Because I already knew that it was way too easy for me to be hermitish before it all started. So I was like, I think I'm probably going to like just, again, sort of switch into that mode. I mean, were you, was that true? You said your parents moved around a lot. Like, even as a teenager, were you sort of like the kid who maybe had been more places than other kids around you and stuff?
Yeah, I think probably, honestly. Yeah, I think so. And my parents, like, so, you know, like I grew up, like I said, in New York, and then they were, I feel like the longest I've lived anywhere was before I was born in New York. But then once we moved to Connecticut, they stayed put for like middle school and high school, but they had moved to New Jersey by the end of my freshman year of college. So like they moved the second I was out of the house. They were like, bye. And then they just continued to move, because by the time I graduated college, they were living in Los Angeles. Okay. So they were just like fucking bouncing all over the place. And now they moved to Nevada. I never know how to say it. And then right now they live in Spain.
Oh my.
They move like crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, from the moment that they left Connecticut, I never really had like a, like, I'm coming home for the summer.
Sure.
It was like, I'm going to come home from the summer to fucking New Jersey, a state I've never lived in that my parents just moved to.
Yes.
So I would just like crash with friends back in Connecticut. And like, it was, it was just like a weird. And then I graduated college and I was moving to LA anyway, but then they already lived in LA, and I was like, oh, you guys, I'm trying to like
don't scoop me,
strike out on my own. Like, you live in WeHo. Like, it was just a very weird situation.
Did they have jobs where they could do that, or did they like how did that, maybe I'm prying.
No, that's okay. My mom stopped working when I was in like the end of college. So she hasn't worked since like pretty much since I graduated. And then my dad used to work for Time Magazine and then Time Warner when they merged. And then eventually as print media kind of like died, and he was like an older dude, he just sort of got like, he retired early, basically. It was like kind of forced early retirement, but he was like a few years off from when he would naturally retire. And he was just like really scrambling. Like, when they were living in Nevada, he was commuting into Los Angeles.
Whoa.
And he would like stay in a hotel for 3 days.
Can we even call that commuting anymore?
Well, that's the thing, is he would like stay overnight, and then my mom was like alone. And it just kind of sucked. And eventually he was just like, I'm clearly like out of the job market for, you know, like as print media just like fucking dies. And that's been his whole career. So he just basically like took early retirement. But then they fucked off to Spain, and they're happier than I've ever seen them in my entire life. So it's been a good.
And basically, just to establish for everyone, there have been no mentions of any siblings.
You
and I established that when I did your wonderful coming out pod.
Well, do you feel like? Oh yeah, thank you. I was like talking over you plugging my podcast.
We'll do it again. Don't you even worry. Don't you even worry.
But I was going to say, do you feel like that really helped me during lockdown, was being an only child? Because I was like, oh, this is my whole childhood. Like, this is fine.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Yep.
I totally get that. Okay. And so when you, because you were in the same place in Westport for the entirety of your high school years, you said that you, even when they moved, you would kind of stay and crash with friends. Did you grow like a sort of fondness for it, like, this is home, these are where my people are? Or did you also, because like you said, you also got out of there as well, so landing for a second?
I did initial, like, that first summer home when they were in New Jersey, and I was like, I'm not gonna stay in New Jersey. And my dad had gotten me, because he was still working at Time, or I think it was Time Warner then, he got me like, you know, like an internship. And what I used to do, this, like, even just thinking about this, I was like, oh yeah, you have like energy when you're young. That's wild.
Oh my God.
I don't have that anymore. Right. But what I would do is like, so I'd work this internship that was in New York City, and you know, I could take like the bus, or not a bus, like a, I don't know, like some, they lived in New Jersey, like just outside of the city.
Yes.
So it was like really early in the morning going from my folks' place in New Jersey to this gig in like in New York City proper, like in the Time Warner building. And then on Friday, when I got off of work at our internship at like 5, I would go to Grand Central Station, get on a train, go to Connecticut, stay with my friends in Westport, and then early Monday morning, go back to the internship. And there was one time where my boss, I say boss, he was probably like 23, but to me it was like, this is an adult.
Right.
I was having like a meeting or whatever, but it was just me and him, and I fell asleep. And he was like, Lauren! And I was like, huh? And he wasn't even mad. He was like, I've never had someone fall asleep sitting by, but I was doing this insane back and forth where I'd get up crazy early Monday in Westport and take the train to Grand Central and then go to work.
Yeah.
I was like 17, so I was like, this is fine. But yeah, so this is the traveling that I talk about where I'm like, I wonder if I just like burned out on all of that young.
For sure, for sure.
So much.
That's so, that definitely
so
shows.
Weird.
It definitely shows the adaptability of, like I said, like sometimes I feel like very fragile and very like picky when I can be. And then other times I'm like, wow, I guess when I have the luxury of being fragile, like that's when I'm aware of it. But then I also have this like hearty adaptive, which I'm sure many people can relate to, where you get into a mode where you're like, I guess I live with one cup and one spoon for a month in a tiny room, and like I get 4 hours of sleep, but like it is a routine, like I can depend
on that.
That becomes the norm, and then your body just sort of crumbles after a certain period of time, because it's like, oh, you thought that you were in a groove, but it was not a groove that's sustainable. You know what I mean? Yeah,
I know exactly what you mean, which is making me be like, is this like a weird only child thing? Because I feel exactly the same way, where I'm like, I hate change. I'm so resistant to it. I'm like, no, like, I never want anything to change. And then the second something does, I adjust to it within, like, a day and a half tops.
Yeah.
It's so weird. But leading up to it, I'm like, absolutely not. And then it happens. And I'm like, like, immediately.
Yeah.
And that's why with lockdown, all my friends were, like, losing it. And I was like, this is fine. Like, it was just, I just, like, slipped into it so seamlessly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's so interesting. I wonder if that does have some, like, weird...
Maybe so. Anybody wants to reach out and let us know if this is an only child thing or if this is just, like, maybe you're also in a family where everyone just... sort of does that because, like, somehow that's part of your genetics.
Maybe. I mean, look at my dad when he was, you know, in his 60s or whatever, like I said, and he's, like, driving from Nevada to LA and then sleeping in, like, a random hotel room and then going back. Like, that's fucking crazy, too. You shouldn't do that. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
You probably already have a favorite animal. Maybe it's a powerful apex predator like the tiger or a cute and cuddly panda. And those are great, but have you considered something a little more unconventional?
Could I perhaps interest you in the Greenland shark, which can live for nearly 400 years? Or maybe the jewel wasp, who performs brain surgery on cockroaches to control their minds?
On Just the Zoo of Us, we review animals by giving them ratings out of 10 in the categories of effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics. Listen with friends and family of all ages to find your new favorite animal with Just the Zoo of Us on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
One of the number one things that I have learned and have said many times on my podcast is I'm always amazed at how many activities people were getting up to as young people in high school. And I feel like the assumption is because of how I am now that I was like that, but I fully was not. Like, I definitely wasn't. Like, I didn't go get a job, even though we had no money. No one asked me to, but, like, I didn't, you know, I just did plays and, like, dance rehearsals, but I wasn't, you know, doing a whole lot of extracurricular, like, and then I was on this team, and then I did that, and then I did this, and, like, somebody had to drive me over to soccer because it wasn't on campus, you know. Like, I definitely wasn't one of those kids, and I super wasn't thinking about, like, this is how you build a resume for college. Like, I just wasn't
Yeah.
Were you more like that? Were you, like, busy?
No, I have never done a sport in my entire, like, I am the least athletic, or at least coordinated, because you said you did dance, so that to me is, like, that's huge. I
mean, let me be clear, not ballet. It was definitely, like, the mixed media of, like,
no,
it's okay,
so
if you
cool.
can't do a plié, because we also, you know, just do modern dance is, like, a great catch-all for, like,
that's amazing,
emoting, you know.
I was all theater. I was a huge theater kid, and I was lucky that my school did, like, we did the two big shows, but then we did, like, a ton of little stuff. So even though I was only doing theater, it was, like, kind of a year-round thing.
Yes, got it.
So I was busy with that. But other than that, like, no, I didn't do any sports. I feel like I did. I'm sure I did, like, extracurriculars, but I can't really think of any. So they certainly weren't notable if I did them. I was definitely, like, a get good grades, go to a good school kid. So I was focused on, like, schoolwork, I guess. Like, studying? What is that called? But yeah, I didn't have, like, a crazy... I would work jobs a little during the summer, but it was, like, work at the box office for the county playhouse.
Right.
But it wasn't, like...
Right.
It was never, like, a real job where it's, like, you're responsible for anything.
Right.
Serious.
Right.
Like, it was
right.
not that.
Right.
So, yeah, I definitely... I think I had a pretty cushy childhood. Like, I was a latchkey kid, for sure, which also, I think, helped with pandemic stuff.
100%. Yeah.
But... No, I didn't have, like, a packed schedule.
Got it.
I wasn't, like, doing the key club.
Well, if you're busy enough in theater, that tends to fill that gap anyway, for sure.
Yeah,
Were you, like, were you getting, you know, juicy roles? Was it more about the community at the time? Like, what did that look like for you?
It was definitely about the community, and I was the, like, I would get, like, the quirky side role, like, all I wanted was the juicy rolls. And I was just not, or I wouldn't get those in like the big shows. And then like in little shows where it's like you can, you know, like your friend's directing or whatever, then I could do fun stuff. But like in the musicals, I would never, like I came so close to getting Carrie and Carousel. And then Kirsten swept in and decided she wanted to do a musical for the first time.
Kirsten.
Yeah, not cool. Mm-mm, and yeah, and like really wanted to be 8 O'Annie in Oklahoma. And then they're like, you're Aunt Eller. And I was like, I'm fucking like 16. Can you give me a break? Like, can I not play old women already? Yeah. Like, clearly that will be the rest of my life. But can it just in high school? Can I not do that? That itch wasn't really scratched until like college. Mm-hmm. Like high school was very like, ugh.
Yeah. Cringe a little bit.
What were you? Yeah. What about you? Were you like leads in all the show? Like, what was your?
We had sort of like a sort of not a great theater department. We had with my dad over the Thanksgiving, and my dad taught at that school. He taught English, and he was like, your drama teacher was so lazy. Like, he was horrible. So there wasn't a whole lot happening. Like, it was not like what you described. It was like, if we were doing a show, fine, but otherwise we were just like hanging out, doing almost nothing.
That's a shame.
Yeah. But I did okay, but I wasn't like, not until my senior year was I like, I felt like I had enough clout to where I fought to do the staged reading of Dylan Thomas's Under Milkwood, which is like such a simple, you'd think that if I were going to fight for something, it would be something really big and splashy and fun. Instead, it was like, I'd like to do a quiet Welsh seated reading
like mature and cool when you're in high school.
Yeah,
like
poetry,
that.
Baby.
Like that's a really
poetry.
Yeah.
I really claimed Dylan Thomas like a lot of younger people do. Like, he really understood me in that he understood what drinking himself to death and like writing about the Welsh countryside. But somehow you sort of feel
Is he like so upset that like high schoolers think he's really cool? Like, that's his demo. Mature high school.
He is so dead. I don't want you to worry at all. That man is so dead in the ground.
Dead, yeah.
From a fairly young age, I think. You know those drinkers. Those artists that gotta just drink themselves to death.
Got to. How you make good art for high schoolers.
How you make great art for high schoolers. It's how the high schools even know who you are. You gotta kill yourself. How was like romance fitting into any of this?
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is a good question. So
because I feel like when I did your podcast, we definitely were both, you had some real like, we've shared some feels of like, oh, yes. Like,
I had feels. I definitely had like crushes on boys for sure. And like, I thought I was bi for a long time. Like, I was out of college before I was like, oh, I'm like a full lesbian. Like, I need to stop.
I gotta go full les.
This is like, I keep trying this and then I'm like, ah! but I did have like big crushes on like some boys. Like, there was this guy I was like such a crush on, but then I dated this other really sweet guy, and then the guy who I had the huge crush on, who was my friend, did the thing where he's like, actually, I think I do like you. And then I like immediately broke up with the sweet guy. And then the other guy was like, oh, I was wrong. I don't like him. And so it was like, it was that fucking,
you got to
like,
have a few of those. That feels
all
like
all the dumb high school drama. Yeah. But it just feels extra dumb when then you realize you're gay. It's like, why did I go through? Like, I didn't have to go through any of that. Like, it's so fucking stupid. And then at the same time, I did have crushes on girls that I like wasn't 100% dealing with, but I was dealing with it enough that I remember senior year I like wrote like a stream of consciousness thing like about the girl I had a crush on, and then which is like bold move. I'm really impressed I did that and like handed it in as like an assignment. And
oh,
is
an assignment?
Like,
okay.
Yeah. Like, I don't fucking know why I did this, but then my English teacher was like, "This is really good. Can I submit it for the it was called like Soundings or something, you know, like the high school like lit journal. And I was like, fuck no. I was like, absolutely not. Like,
this
no.
This is private between you and me, my teacher.
Between you and me, Mr. Ball. Yeah. Like I was like, you can't put this gay thing in the, I just like, give me my A and let's move on.
Yes.
So like I knew, but I wasn't fully dealing with it. And then my dear, dear, dear best friend, who I'm still very close with, who lives in San Diego, who is featured in the photos that I sent
yes.
you. And this is the very first episode of my podcast that I do with Nicole, is Nicole and I tell each other our coming out stories. So this full elaborate story is told in that podcast. But basically, like, we were walking home from school and like he came out to me and then I was like, oh my god, me too.
Aww.
So then that was like, I think summer before senior year. I don't know, I say it in the episode. I did my research before that episode. Now it's, I can't really remember.
Refer to it.
But once I knew somebody else was like having gay feelings, then I was more like, okay, I'm definitely having gay feelings.
Yeah.
But
did any of that come to fruition? Yeah. Did you said you?
No, I only dated that one guy yeah. for like, I don't know, like 2 months tops, uh-huh. maybe, and like. We kissed like maybe a couple times, and I'm one of those people who I didn't get the deal with kissing until I finally kissed a girl, which was like end of junior year in college. Like I'm like very much a late bloomer, so I was not doing a lot with my body or my parts for a very, very long time. And then my first girlfriend and first relationship period was senior year of college.
Gotcha.
So then I was like, now I'm in the game.
But
up until then, it was very, very cloistered.
So before you got into the relationship with a girl senior year, was that like, did you have any casual makeouts, or was it like...
I had a couple casual makeouts with guys. Yeah, a couple casual, like one-time makeouts, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like one night after a party or whatever. But literally like just makeouts, like very chaste pretty much. And then the first girl I ever kissed was literally like in public in a truth or dare or something,
oh.
like junior year
yeah.
at a party. Like that was like my first kiss with a girl.
Amazing.
And then we like walked home together and then like kissed a little more. And then the next year was just like everything at once. So it was just a lot because it was like my first relationship,
yeah.
the first girl, first like really getting physical beyond just like smooch, smooch. So
yeah.
it was kind of... kind of a lot all at once. But I was like, fuck, I'm going to graduate soon. Like, I better get all this life experience in real quick. Uh-huh.
Did you have that awareness? You joke about it now, but were you kind of like, well, like, let's push
no,
this
I
all
think,
the way through to whatever.
I think I was just like super, and I say like in love because I do think like I was as in love as I could be at that. Now I look back on it and I'm like, I probably wasn't actually in love with her, but like at the time, like I was definitely in love,
yeah.
and like
it's hard to
describe. I mean, we moved to LA together, like
yeah.
I definitely
oh, yeah.
I think I thought like, oh, we're gonna be together forever, but it's like, you're what was I like, I just turned 21.
I was
a dummy.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what, like, I guess I feel like there's a spectrum of being in love that can like exist,
yeah.
not just, I mean, it can exist on its own at like, if you're at an age where there might be a spectrum while you're at that age, that's one thing. But I've never really thought about it before. But the way you're saying it, I'm like, yeah, but like your version of being in love, you shouldn't have to apply what being in love means to you now
exactly.
as an adult. Like,
exactly.
of course you were in love
yeah.
back then. Like, you know what I mean? Because that's what being
and
in love
was
when you
real.
Were that age. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I like the way I like to think of it is like I was in love with her to the degree that I was able to feel and be in love at that point in my life.
Exactly.
So like, yeah, I think that is. If
exactly.
you're grading on a curve, like, yeah, that
yeah.
is love.
Yeah. Your story reminds
yeah.
me a little bit of, I brought this up so, not that many times, but like, I do feel like I brought it up more than a lot of other episodes, but your story reminds me, whenever someone talks about A, their sexuality and sort of leaning into potentially being gay, and B, being a late bloomer, I always think about Dave Holmes's story that he told on my podcast, where he had his like first kiss with a boy, and he's like, I wanted to play it so cool. And he's like, I swear the kiss ended, and I was like, I love you. I'm in love with you. I love you. I want to be with you. I love you. I'm in love with you. Just because it was the first time.
He'd be a great lesbian. That would be totally normal in my community.
Yes. It was just so adorable. Like, and that's so, I think, relatable for people. Like, even if it's not that exact of a duplicate of like their own experience, that there's, it's so relatable to have. I mean, I remember thinking that like what a bad like time to like the whole rebound idea, like leaving a relationship because you identify rebound as, I think we sort of think of rebound as being like you were hurt by the person and you didn't want the relationship to end, and therefore the next thing you do is a rebound, which because you're vulnerable in that way. So I don't think you're necessarily prepared for you being the instigator of something ending and you being okay with it and still having a quote unquote rebound thing where you're like, oh my God, I feel attractive and attracted for the first time in forever. And like, I definitely had a couple of experiences like that through my life where the person that I date right after something longer ends, I have this moment where I'm like, I think I love this person. I do think I love this person, though. And you look back and you're like, no, you were just like excited to have those feelings.
Yeah,
and that, you know, that it, because it's a strong feeling, you tend to sort of, you know, you can place importance on it that is not accurate or deserved necessarily, but those things kind of jumble together, you know?
Do you feel, and this is such a personal question, but do you like fall in love a lot? Like, the reason why I'm asking is because I've straight up only been in love, I say like 1.5, because I'm in talking about the high school one, feel like the next one was like such a big thing that I'm like, again, I was in love in high school, but it was so different from when I was really in love.
Right.
But what I glean from talking to other humans is that that's a small amount of times for normal people. So like, I don't know. Have you been in love like a lot?
That's a great question. No, that's a great, great question. I mean, I guess I do feel like I think that, and then I think that on the dangerous side of that, again, spectrum, balance, know yourself, whatever that means. You could have 25 healthy relationships if they're healthy for you and the other person in the course of, you know, however many years, like if they play themselves out and they were what you wanted them to be, or you can have two or whatever in between. Like, but in terms of the rush of newness being mistaken for something that seemed like it would sustain longer, definitely am guilty of being the like soaring high and crashing down and soaring high. I mean, I absolutely was that kid, especially in high school. Yeah, especially in high school and college to a certain degree, where it really felt like, you know, all of those hormonal things that people talk about when we talk about everything being so important and so soul crushing and so elating, like, and why, you know, we talk about books like Anne of Green Gables, where it's like, oh, I guess I must have loved that roller coaster. You know, I loved writing about people in my journal. I loved, you know, being,
yeah,
I must have loved,
poetry.
Yeah. Or like, and like the torture of like being in love with a girl who, you know, was I in love with her? No, I mean, I probably wasn't in love with her, but she was wonderful and she had a boyfriend and I loved sitting in that. I loved writing in my journal, listening to sad music, being like, I guess this is never going to be. So I'll just talk about how much this hurts and how amazing she is. Like, you know, I definitely sat in that. It sounds so exhausting to me now, but I also,
everything I'm talking about now sounds like, how did I even do that? Like, now it's just like, I got to go like to the store and I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? I'm also very much like, I'm a sprint or I'm a marathon, not a sprint. Like, I will pine Yeah. So the girl who I dated senior year, I had a crush on since freshman year.
Okay.
So, like, that's my style. It's like, oh, let me pick someone and then ignore anything else good that could possibly come into my life because I'm fixated on this one. Like, same thing with the other girl who is, like, the person who I was really in love with. It's like, and we were, like, very good friends, but, like, man, just for a long time was, like, really into this girl. So it's, like, that's very much my, I'm a very much, like, dig your heels in! Uh-huh.
Did you get, and then I got to get into this MASH game with you, which I can't believe how fast this has happened, but before I do that, were these people, you would sort of get a sense from, like, were there little sort of moments of hope that sort of that continued along? Because you know what I mean? Like, sometimes there are people who are like, my friend knew I was in love with him and they did not give me a chance to get over them for whatever reason. Doesn't make someone a bad person, but like, maybe you would get a little breadcrumb and it would be like, oh shit, oh, I think my, you know, and then 2 years happened. Like, you know what I mean? Go by and you're like, oh, I guess.
Yeah.
Or was it like, I really didn't get anything. I just was very settled into my feelings.
I just had decided that we were going to be in love.
Yeah.
They were very different because the first girl, so I didn't even met, like, she didn't know my name, I'm sure, but we met quotes. Orientation week of freshman year, we were randomly in the same group. And I was like, oh my God, I have a crush on that girl. And then, like, barely saw her for the duration of college. So I was, like, making out with guys at parties and, like, learning how to drink and throwing up a lot. And then senior year, we were both in the improv group together. And so once we did a play, we were in the same play junior year. And then and I was like, is this it? And then she immediately started dating a different girl in the play. And I was like, oh, that wasn't it. But then senior year, like, once we got to know each other because we were in this improv group together, then it pretty quickly, like, it happened. So I was right.
You were right. Fuck all y'all.
The other girl was when I was living in Amsterdam, and she was straight. So it was, but also, like, you know, like, it's Amsterdam, and, like, everyone's who's straight, like, that kind of. So we were very, very, very good friends, and, like, she knew and everybody knew that I had a feelings for her. But we were friends and she was straight and she was dating a guy and I was hooking up with other girls and we were young and drunk all the time. And so that took a while. That took a while to, like, become a thing and then eventually became a thing. So she was breadcrumbing me. Uh-huh. And I think she would fully admit to that.
Good for her.
But yeah, so two very different scenarios where one, I had just created it all in my head. Uh-huh. And then the other one, she was playing an equal role in my...
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Hello, I'm a stuffy dowager countess.
Travis?
I'm judging everybody's manners.
Oh, no.
Schmanners isn't judgy. It's about teaching you to be your best self. And be a little more confident when you enter social situations that you don't understand. And maybe also teach you a little bit about history you didn't know or give you interesting things to talk about at parties.
Yeah, like the secret life of Emily Post.
Or like why wristwatches are the way that they are.
We can talk about table manners from the Victorian era.
Sure, or what it's like to attend a Regency ball.
Yeah.
You can find all that and more if you listen to Schmanners on Maximum Fun or wherever your podcasts come from, I guess.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
Let's get into this MASH game. I want to start with... I mean, I feel like... I don't want to, like, marry you necessarily to a specific genre of movie, but that I say that, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. Because it feels like a natural extension in a way of the conversation that I had with you two on Coming Out, which, again, heartily recommend people listen to. Not just my episode,
but start with your episode.
But feel free to start
sure.
with it. Although you got to go back and listen to those OG stories too. So give me a movie that you can jump into, but give me a movie, like three. You're going to get three, obviously. You're going to get one out of the three. So let's start with three movies. But if we can lean into the idea of like films in which you felt seen or felt like, you know, the difference between like a fully straight heterosexual movie and like a movie that sort of gave you like those the butterfly feeling, because you were like, oh my God, this is something, like, this is, I don't see this very often. This is two girls who seem to have feelings, you know what I mean?
Oh,
so it can be like full on sexy, or it can be like, you know, Fried Green Tomatoes, where it's like, oh, it's hinted at kind of thing. Three movies that you would love to jump into that gave you the butterfly feeling of like that you would still want to be in now. But you know, it's like in that world with those sort of.
Wow. That is a good question. Fried Green Tomatoes is such a good one. I watched that. I saw that with my buddy Kieran, because I said that at my school we did a bunch of plays. Me and him did like a two-hander and lived with the girl who was directing it, like just like camped out at her house for a week.
Wow.
Like rehearsing and stuff, which was really fun. And we watched that movie.
Love.
Can I say that one, even though you said it?
I wish that
I'm going to say
listen,
that one.
You got a much better reason for. I mean, but and also, you know, there was a good chance I was going to say a movie that meant something to you, because there aren't that many.
No, that totally. Because again, me and him were both. I think we both thought we were bi at the time, and I don't know if we specifically told this girl Leslie who was directing us, but like she, even if we didn't direct it, like she knew.
She knew. Yeah.
So it was just really nice, and so she like we rented it one night, and the three of us watched it, and we were like. Kind of gay.
Yeah.
Fuck. And then I need to think. I know. Like, it's so hard to go back in my little brain from when I was a kid. Oh, okay. Well, when I was way younger, I remember seeing Mannequin on TV, and I was really in love with Kim Cattrall. Oh, and I saw that it was at the house of the girl who I later had a crush on.
Perfect.
It was like at a middle school sleepover, and then she was the girl I had a crush on in high school. So Mannequin,
great
for sure, very formative.
Love it.
And then this is, can it be one from when I was a little older?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, because I saw But I'm a Cheerleader.
Oh yes,
with my girlfriend, and then my best friend. My male roommate who was dating my girlfriend's ex-girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
We saw it on a double, as two couples.
That's amazing.
With like weird history between us. So that was a very fun.
It's so good. I love that movie. Okay, beautiful. Those are three gorgeous choices. Let's do three places in the world that you would love to have another home if we could just teleport you there, like you could walk into your closet and walk out of the closet of that place. Maybe the closet was a little too on the nose for what your podcast is. Listen, it's a portal.
It's there. Call it as you see it. I'm also recording in a closet.
Fair.
New Zealand.
Yeah.
Never been, obsessed with.
Gotta get you over there for sure.
Lateral move to Australia. Never been, obsessed with.
Great.
And then where I have been is Greece.
Great.
And that's where I went with the girl in Amsterdam right before we got together. Ugh. So it was a very fraught, like, will we, won't we?
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Hot.
That is hot. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Three foods that in this alternate reality we're creating for you are not bad for you. They're not bad for the environment. You're not going to get like a sugar crash. Could be something that you had once far away, like when you were living abroad and can't really find the same, you know, like wish you could have it all the time. These are three foods you can have at the snap of your fingers in perpetuity with zero ramifications.
Okay. If it's zero ramifications, then it's like a fancy restaurant style cheeseburger where no cow has been in any way, harmed.
Perfect.
Yeah, real classy, expensive cheeseburger. Do you know those sour grapefruit gummy slices?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. Just like a 10-pound bag of those where I don't immediately regret how many I've eaten after I've eaten them. Sour grapefruit gummy slices.
Gorgeous.
And then, yeah, because you said like stuff you've maybe had before. They have this thing in Holland called Oude Kaas, which means old cheese, which sounds fucking disgusting, but it's so good. It's just like this like aged cheese. I mean, all cheese is aged. That's how it becomes
cheese.
Is
it dry? I guess it's dry. I guess the cheese gets older.
It's pretty dry.
No, I like dry cheeses. Yeah. So I'm like smoked old cheeses. I'm all about.
Yeah. It's really good. And I do miss, like, you would go to the train station and just get, like a bun with, like, some Oude Kaas in it. And you're like, this is like prison food, but it tastes really good.
I totally get it.
So let's say a giant, just a huge fucking wheel of old cheese.
Great. Great. I do love looking down and just seeing the words old
There's
cheese.
There's a cheese the theme section. Because I said cheeseburger, too. I love cheese.
You're right, too. You're right, too.
Who doesn't?
Okay. Let's get some romance in here. Three people. Any character,
shit.
Movie, film. Movies and films are the same. Book, cartoon. Three people that you would love to have. And I'm not even committing you to like a marriage with this person. Like it could be totally short term.
I'll marry them.
Three people. Romance.
I'm gonna say
times.
Them and they're gonna be a little embarrassing and I'm gonna own it.
Can't
the
wait.
First one's not embarrassing, I'm very proud of it. Rachel Weisz is my number one, like, I will wed you.
Yeah.
I will take care of you.
Yeah. Love.
I don't know how you are richer and more capable than me, but I will find a way. Yeah, Rachel Weisz.
Great.
Number one.
Yes.
Second one's real, real embarrassing. We're gonna go for it anyway. There is a TV show that I became obsessed with during the pandemic. It is for people younger than me. It is called The Wilds. It was on Amazon.
Oh,
Prime.
Yeah, sure. I watched The Wilds. I watched The Wilds season one. Yeah,
okay.
I did. I watched it, and then
I
watched
better.
The second. I started to watch the second
the
season
second
within
season
5 minutes.
Is very, very bad.
Yeah, I started to watch it, and in 5 minutes, I was like, don't care about these guys. Don't care.
Disowned. Yeah. Disowned. But that first series, I have watched those 10 episodes, I think 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
Like, it was a real, like, pandemic touchstone for me.
Got it.
So the girl...
I like the soundtrack a lot. I have the soundtrack. Like, the soundtrack's on Spotify, you know.
Oh, I have the soundtrack. I bought all the songs. Like,
Love it.
I went hard for this. So
I'm dying to know which one it is.
It's so predictable. The girl plays Shelby, the blonde girl. She's an Australian actress named Mia Healy. Yeah. She's very young.
I'm putting Shelby,
really
not the actress.
Like
it's
her.
The character of Shelby. Great.
It is more the character, honestly. I could the very young Australian girl who vapes all the time and makes TikToks, I wouldn't know what to do with that girl.
Right.
I would
correct.
Definitely know what to do with a repressed, religious, very sweet, innocent. I'd be like, I got this.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is the character.
Yes.
But yeah, and then this one's embarrassing too. This one I'm like, I've pretty much grown out of it, but for many, many years, I was all about Blake Lively.
Oh, I totally get it. Come on, are you kidding me? That's not embarrassing.
So all these women pretty much look the same. They're very, very femme.
No, Rachel Weisz is not. I can put Shelby and Blake Lively in the same category, but
Rachel Weisz is me maturing. It's me coming into myself and being like, but what about brunettes? And that's as far as I stray from my type.
No, she's so... Okay, no. These are all very understandable and very adorable.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
You should be proud. You should be
thank
proud.
Thank you.
You should be proud. Okay, next category. Let's do three... I mean, I'd love to give you those lead roles in a musical. Not age dependent. You're about to get to star, and I want you to know you can do as many of these, or you could do one. I don't need you. I'm not going to lock you into 6 days a week, or six shows a week, or 8 shows a week.
Okay,
it could be a one-er and done-er, or it could be in perpetuity. Leads in musicals 3.
Oh my God. Okay, could not be more wrong for this role. Gonna do it anyway.
Please.
Maureen and Rent.
Great.
I have to put Rent. You saw the photos I sent you.
Yes.
I was very, very into Rent.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So that's definitely, everyone would be like, she's miscast, but we're doing it. Okay.
No, no one's gonna think that in this universe. Nope.
God bless.
Yep.
Okay. This is a deep nerd cut, but I am a huge Sondheim freak. So do you know A Little Night Music?
I mean, I don't know this it other than cut. I know it exists.
The Countess.
Great.
In A Little Night Music. There's like one person listening right now, probably a gay man, who's like, oh my God, yes!
Beautiful.
But yeah, I love that role, and I always, since I was a kid, I was like, one day I'll age into that. And guess what?
Hey.
I have aged into it! And then the last one, I'll say this is another Sondheim. This is a role I got to play in college, but I'd want to do it again. Squeaky from an Assassin.
Oh, how fun. Wonderful.
It was the funnest. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful,
so
wonderful.
So we'll do those three.
Okay, great. Fantastic. All right, next one. Let's do three. I'd love to hear what your answers are going to be on this one, so I got to do it. Three artists from any era, any type of art, like that we're going to sort of pull in and you're going to collaborate with on something. And you don't even necessarily have to know what that thing is. You could just be like, I want to work with Joni Mitchell. I guess we'll record an album. Not sure, but or we'll paint together or whatever. Three types of art, whatever that looks like for you.
Wow, this is great. Okay, I have to say Stephen Sondheim because I just said I'm like, but he's my most influential artist ever.
Wonderful.
I adore, obsessed. And then I gotta go David Bowie.
Great.
I'm a huge Bowie fan.
Great, great, great.
I just want to be there while he does stuff.
Yeah.
And then I think Fiona Apple.
Oh, wonderful.
A huge Fiona Apple. Oh, they're all music people.
Yeah, they are. That's wonderful.
But I think, I'm music is super important to me.
Okay, well then, having heard that, I would love to hear from you three bands, composers, singer-songwriters.
Oh, shit.
It doesn't matter, but three musicians.
I should have saved it for this one.
Well, you could still, listen, you can lay them down twice. I don't mind. But three musicians. And maybe the answers will be different because of what I'm going for, but I don't know. But this is more like the soundtrack of your life. Like you in a car looking out the window and it's raining, or you falling asleep at night, or you making a meal. Like what these people are constructing something that so perfectly fits kind of like the ebb and flow of your day-to-day or what you would like your day-to-day to feel like, that's sort of the mood.
Wow, that's a good one. Okay. The first thing I thought of, which indicates that I think I'm way cooler than I am, is Amy Mann.
Oh, we love our Amy Mann.
We do. Also, I'm setting myself up for like a really kind of depressing life, but it will be scored beautifully.
Yes.
So I think it's worth it. And then, I mean, you said her already, but I think I gotta do Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, come
on. I'm huge. Yeah, she's so influential for my life. And then I got one more. I might need to repeat Sondheim.
Great. Let's do it.
Is that okay?
Don't you dare be shy about it. I love it.
I just cannot emphasize enough how much that dude's affected me.
Wonderful.
Oh, my God. And I went to see when they did the concert version of Into the Woods they brought the cast back. I went. Cole had an extra ticket.
Yeah.
Cole Stratton.
Yeah. Oh, my
and
God.
And so I went. And it was so funny because
so
it was like
cool.
His mom and his dad and him and Jenny and then like me who bought the extra ticket just like
God.
Sitting there like crying.
I love it.
That's so funny.
It.
I just thought of that. Oh. But yeah, because I wanted to see Stephen Sondheim like live on a stage before he passed. And that was like a number
God.
Of years ago. So I got
That's
to see
so
it.
That's so great. Oh,
all because of your buddy.
That's
yeah.
So cool.
100%.
Shout out to Cole who I talked to about 70,000 times a day this time of year and every time of year.
Sure.
Amazing. Okay, final category. Ooh, final category. Well, you know what? I can't believe I'm going to hand you this opportunity. But now your love of Sondheim has touched my heart to the point where now I would like you to give me three eras that you would like to go and be able to dip into whenever you want. I'm assuming one of them would be like he's like out and about in his prime. That could definitely be one. Like I would love to be in New York,
maybe.
Like hanging around Broadway, but it doesn't have to be.
Gosh. Ooh, I don't know. And does this, is this like the other one where there's no ramifications?
Zero.
Is this like, don't worry about politics and rights?
Nothing bad is going to happen.
Social justice.
Definitely not going to be raped or any of the other horrible things that can happen. I guess anytime and anywhere, but certainly worse at certain moments. Yes.
Well, okay. I got to go. I'm going like, was it 20s Algonquin Roundtable-ish
time. Ooh, yeah.
So we're going Dorothy Parker, snarky New
Vicious
York
Vicious Circle, time. Great.
Yeah, we're going Vicious Circle.
Great.
For sure. And then what other times? I feel like, and this not because of Sondheim, but he was certainly bopping around. But I feel like I want to go, like, 80s new wave fun. Like, Coke hasn't really taken its toll yet. Uh-huh. It's just fun. And, like, Wall Street seems cool. Like, let's not worry about the ramifications of what we're doing here.
For sure.
But just, I think 80s new wave time.
Oh, wonderful.
Fun times, good movies, the Bangles. You get it.
Wonderful.
And then I get, I get one more. Okay. Well, then this is pretty close to that, but I gotta go. Let's go Laurel Canyon era folk, like Everyone Lives and Joni Mitchell, Crosby, Stills and Nash, Moms and Papas. I'm living there too. And I'm there too.
Oh my God.
I'm at their parties.
Yeah. I love it. Oh, brilliant. Okay. Mm-hmm, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Oof. Okay. All right.
Oh my goodness.
I would like for you to give me a give me if you could have one meal tonight that had like something in it that you were just like, oh, I'm always, whenever I crave something, I always crave blank, like for dinner or whatever. Like one item be from that?
Sushi, a caterpillar roll.
No, I'm absolutely not spelling caterpillar, so I'm going to do sushi, which has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters. Okay. Will you please reiterate for people where they can find the Coming Out Pod and anything else you would like people to be aware of and tune into and appreciate about you, Lauren?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So my podcast is called Coming Out with Lauren and Nicole. It is at Coming Out Pod on Twitter and Instagram, comingoutpod.com. Janet was our guest for National Coming Out Day on October 11th. It was so, oh my God. And we get the nicest messages about your episode.
Aww.
So I don't know what number episode it was, but just look up whenever the October 11th of this year episode was. And then I am at Lauren Flans on Twitter, and I'm sticking around until it's like a burning husk. I'm very addicted to Twitter. I'm Lauren_Flans on Instagram.
Wonderful.
Oh, and if you want to follow my dog, who I mentioned I gray gardensed with during the pandemic.
Yes.
His name is Piero, and he has a TikTok.
Oh,
that is at Hello, It's Piero. P-I-E-R-R-O.
I love that I'm getting a phone call from him as I am watching him on TikTok. That's what it's like. Who is this? Hello, it's Piero. It's Piero.
Hello, it's Piero.
We're having
some times over wonderful. On the TikTok. Oh, and last but not least, my friends and I shot a pilot called Butch Pal for the Straight Gal. That's like a Queer Eye parody, but with queer women. And I'm so happy with how it came out. It's really, really funny. And you can check it out on the Roku channel. You don't need a Roku. The Roku channel is just the name of the app. It's like Hulu or Apple TV or whatever. So you just go to the Roku channel and search Butch Pal for the Straight Gal if you want to check that out.
Wonderful. Okay, well, I have your MASH results. I feel very good about them. I hope that you do too. Let me give you I'm going to rip off this Band-Aid because I wanted you to get Rachel Weisz, but for some reason, the universe needs you to have Blake Lively.
Oh my God!
Needs you to have Blake Lively.
Wow. That is unanticipated.
Yeah.
She is very married and pregnant with her fourth child, so this is going to be complicated.
Well, it's more about...
But okay!
It's more about whatever... Yeah, she... Like, in this alternate universe, there's every version of everyone, right, if we're in a multiverse. So that this other universe is just like, she's just all Lauren all the time.
I am a Ryan Reynolds type.
You are a Ryan Reynolds type.
Okay.
I feel great about it. And I hope you feel the same. Because you guys, if you know, listen, it can be as long or short of relationship as you want. But I do want to just advise you that you have a mansion in Australia. So that you can teleport yourself to. So whatever happens, you're going to be just fine no matter what. It makes me very, very happy to report that you can have endless sour grapefruit slices. And I mean, endless. I mean, no chafing of the roof of your mouth, no sugar rush and fall. It's just like all the time if you want them. Speaking
Beautiful.
Of fruit, speaking of fruit, you also get to collaborate on something with Fiona Apple.
Oh, shit. There
which
it is.
Very exciting. There's a lot of music.
Wow.
Listen, there's a lot of music in this. There is a lot of music. We established music is very important to you. You are about to get
important.
An onslaught of music. You know what else has great music in it? Mannequin. Mannequin has great music in it.
It does, though.
So
yeah.
You're going to be in that department store at night. That movie did a lot for me as well when I saw it. I mean,
did
it really,
it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
because there's the whole like I was already obsessed, as many kids were, with the idea of being in a place overnight, like that you weren't supposed to be, like the
funnest, yeah,
mixed up files of Mrs. Baisley, Frank Weller,
overnight?
Like we lived in the New York, the Natural History, a mall overnight, a department store overnight, like that I was really into. And also just the idea of, like, I used to really wish that I could, like, turn myself into a statue and, like, not move and then, like, come alive again. So that had a huge influence. So you can jump into Mannequin whenever you want. But that's
Very
not
cool.
that's not the music I'm talking about. Sure, it has music in it.
Okay,
sure.
Okay.
But you also get to be, speaking of music, literally, you do get to be the Countess in A Little Night Music.
Oh, yay!
And...
I got legit excited.
And
I forgot this is not real. Yeah.
It's real. Soundtrack of Your Life by a certain Joni Mitchell.
Ooh!
With whom you are also hanging out whenever you want in Laurel Canyon in the 60s. That is magic.
Oh, that's exciting.
That is some beautiful
I hope they
magic
like
right
Lively.
There. Oh, they're
wow.
You know what? She's a good kid. She's going to blend right in if you
they're
want her there.
Love her.
If you want her there, if not, she didn't have to come. I love this. I love everything about it. And I love
Ooh,
how music
exciting.
Heavy it ended up being. It's fabulous. It's fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
You're
Where do I go
so
to
welcome.
Claim all of this?
It's going to
sort of
gradually roll out.
Do I scan a QR?
It
okay.
may not happen right
it's
all at once.
Out.
You may wake up and find yourself in the movie Mannequin at some point, and that's when you'll know that it started. It has begun. The metamorphosis has begun. In the meantime, Lauren, you're awesome. I've been so looking forward to this. I
Me
cannot
too.
Say enough good things about you, and this was a blast.
Same. This was so fun. I was nervous. This was really fun.
How dare you even consider being nervous?
Know.
What a blast.
I got a little nervous. But yeah, you are a goddamn delight. And everyone should listen to your episode on my podcast because it was just so good. And we love talking
Well,
to you.
We were all very, I appreciate how that everyone was just very forthright, even if they were like, I'm not proud of this, but, or like, I don't know. I'm confused about
Story
this thing. I should probably.
I'm not proud of this, but.
But I'm a human person, and does this help
someone?
It's on
my family crest.
Exactly.
I think that's our motto.
Lauren, thank you. Everybody else.
Thank you.
Put on that. Listen, treat yourself. Put on some warm socks. Put on a beanie. Don't use up all the fossil fuels. I don't know. Listen to me. I'm not an environmentalist,
yeah.
Clearly. I mean to be. And I will talk to you all next time on the podcast. The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Hey, remember when we could save kittens from trees or lunch on skyscrapers, bring the villains to their knees? Maybe we should.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.